Today is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord has blessed thee by his power, because by thee he has brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies. Because he has so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life, by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for tonight is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 41 to 50. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment that the sound of thy greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we forget, we want you to know that you may recall the new chalice and ciborium that Father purchased because of your generosity on his golden anniversary recently. And that chalice and ciborium we're using at this Mass, just so you know. So, this feast is all about the assumption, the taking of our Blessed Mother from the earth to heaven. This has been a belief of the Catholic Church, and from the second century, not only our belief, but all of those breakaway churches, all of the early centuries of the heretics and the schismatics who left the church, they almost to a man, they all believe in the Assumption of our Blessed Mother. This is from the second century. And so this indicates that this, because it's as old as the second century, this indicates that it comes, this doctrine, this belief, right from the event, because it would have only been a few years before that that this event took place. We believe that our Blessed Mother died, and that's not part of this feast. It's not part of the doctrine, the dogma that is taught by this feast. And by the infallible declaration of Pope Pius XII in 1950, her death is not part of that. But we have always believed that our Blessed Mother died, and that would have taken place, and her assumption would have taken place, around the year 50 A.D. We don't know the exact time, but it is interesting to know that at approximately the same year was the Council of Jerusalem, which was the first council of the Church. And at that same time, St. James was martyred, and so many of the apostles had come back to Jerusalem from the places they had gone to evangelize. St. Peter came back, St. James, just to name a few that we know of, St. James the Greater, and so he was the first martyr of the apostles. And this was at the same time, you may recall, that they arrested St. Peter and put him in jail. And they had the guards watching over him. And that's the gospel that is read on his feast. That's about the same time. And then he left and went back to Rome. So this doctrine, we have no details about what took place at that time. The only thing we know for sure, because this was taught by the Church from that time, and so it was always considered very dangerous to question that our Blessed Mother was in heaven, body and soul. And now we know, since 1950, that this is a dogma. That tells us something else. That tells us that at least one of the apostles received this revelation. Probably all of them. We don't know the details, as we said, but because this took place around the time of the First Council, it's quite possible that many, if not all, of the apostles were there. And it has been believed by some that they were there at her death, and it would be logical to assume that they witnessed, as they did, the ascension of our Lord and Savior. It would be logical to assume that they witnessed the assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven. This would have been one of the biggest events ever in heaven. After that of our Lord's ascension, we can't begin to imagine the rejoicing, the celebration of the entire court of heaven, all of the angels, upon receiving their queen into the heavenly courts for the first time, and all of the saints being able to thank and glorify and express their great gratitude and love of their mother and their queen for the first time, because she is our co-redemptrix. And so entire court of heaven owed her so much. She's even the queen of angels, and so we know that they depend on the Son of God for their all of the graces, all of their glory in heaven. And so likewise, they depend on their queen, because she is the queen of angels. So we can't begin to imagine what a great celebration there was when she entered the courts of heaven. It is even believed by many that the Son of God himself came down and took her back to heaven with him. Imagine that. That may have been witnessed also. Many have believed that. But on this night of the Assumption of our Blessed Mother, it is on this day, it has always been believed that this took place. One of the most beautiful things for us that we always are attentive to on this feast is that it was only almost within our lifetime, within some people's here, within their lifetime, if they're a little older, that this Mass, which we're sorry you weren't able to attend this morning because it was so beautiful with the solemn Mass, beautiful sermon that our Father Superior gave, but we are always so impressed with this Mass, which was composed at the time of the declaration of Pope Pius XII, because the Mass and the Divine Office, which was composed anew when the dogma was declared, new office, new Mass, and someone composed the music for this Mass, an office, and it is one of the most beautiful Masses of the whole year. So we are inspired, we can say, by the Catholic Church in 1950 and by those saints who lived at that time, great doctors of the Church, great theologians, composers, inspired to compose this Mass and this music as divine office for all of us, for all of the future generations. It is as if it came from the great saints of the early ages of the Church. It's so magnificent. And so we remind you, brethren, that even though we were not there when she entered into heaven, that we will be there very soon. And even before we go to heaven, we hope, we trust, even before then, what do we owe her now? She should be everything to us. She is our co-redemptrix. We do not appreciate what she has done for us. We believe that her entire life was a constant miracle, because the saints tell us, they believe, that if it were not for a miracle, at least at the passion and death of her son, if it were not for a miracle, she would have died of love and of sorrow. But this is true throughout her life. Many, many of the saints and people who have not even been declared saints, many of the blessed, have died of love. If we can say this of them, and we do, what can we say of our Blessed Mother? She survived throughout her life miraculously because of her love. Because God kept her alive, her love was so great she would have died. And so all that happened at the moment of her death is God simply stopped performing the constant miracle of her life, and she passed into his arms. This is what we owe her. We owe her everything. All of the graces that we receive, our co-redemption, we owe her. How much we should love her. We should never, as we owe God, the Son of God, we should never forget them. Don't forget that she is God's mother. She is the mother of our Savior, the mother of God. How much we should love her. Imagine how much the saints and angels love her. We have this obligation, brethren, to thank her, to pray to her for everything. There is a story of a man who, many years ago, was on the point of suicide. He was ready to jump into a river. And at the last moment, he broke down and gave up his desire at the moment, his will to kill himself. He said to God that he was praying for forgiveness of his sins without the sacrament of penance, because he could not force himself. He could not bring himself to confess his sins. They were too great. And so he went home. And before he would go to bed at night, many times he would hear someone saying, "Go to confession." And so he would go to the church, and he would have a great desire to go to confession, and he couldn't bring himself to it. And finally, he received the grace to go and pray, to kneel down in front of the statue of our Blessed Mother. And in that instant of kneeling down and praying to her, he received the grace of going to the sacrament of penance. And he confessed his sins just because of his mother. And he said that he felt like he had received a greater gift than as if he had received all the treasures of the whole earth for himself. All because of our Blessed Mother and his Blessed Mother. Remember that the gifts that she has received for us, the gift of the incarnation, that God was conceived in her womb. This is beyond our understanding, brethren. He was conceived in her womb, and she carried him for 9 months, the Son of God. God himself. And she gave birth to him, to God. How can we begin to appreciate what she is for us, what we owe her for all that she did, all that she suffered? It is something that only each one of us by examining our lives, can fully appreciate. And then maybe, if we do that, we will begin to thank her and never stop. May God bless you.